apart from a means of exchange, how do you see money as being kind of embedded with value?
Well, so money is really what makes everything tick, and yet we've given over the power of creating the money and distributing the money and determining how much money supply there is to a third party, usually like a central bank or a reserve bank. And that's really why Bitcoin was first created. It was created by, you know, crypto anarchists, people who are like, well, shouldn't the people be in charge of creating our money rather than this government institution, or oftentimes non-government institution?
Mm.
And so Bitcoin was really about, how do we create a system where we can have a distributed monetary system and trade, but without any central entity distributing those notes, those coins?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, for anyone out there, there's been a lot of talk about Bitcoin recently, a lot about the fluctuating value of it and how it's increased exponentially in value.
Yeah, it's probably a bubble.
Yeah, it'll burst. But for now, people are making a lot of money on it. And something that I know is confusing a lot of older generations, my mum especially, is the fact that there isn't actually a coin, is there? It's all electronic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's like most of our money today. Like, you know, the numbers in your bank account, they're just digits in a database. That database just happens to be owned by, you know, whatever bank you're with.
Mm.
Whereas with Bitcoin, it's kind of like it's digital, but it's digital and nobody has control over it. So nobody can mess with it. No individual can mess with it. It's a distributed system.
Fantastic. I love it. No, my mum's like, but I don't understand. How do you buy the coins? Where do the coins come from? What do they look like? I'm like, oh, dear me. It's an interesting concept, though. It's a really interesting concept and something that I think a lot of people are getting on board with. But it wasn't super popular to start out with, was it?
No. So when it first started in, I think, 2009, obviously, when you start any new token or any new currency, it's pretty much worthless from the start.
Yeah.
I mean, even now, you could argue that, you know, Bitcoin is really worthless. Like, what is it? It's just a digital piece of item. But really, why it has value is because it's got this built up kind of system of, you know, allowing monetary exchange globally with very low fees. And the way this works is you have what are called miners. And so miners are really just people who are running, like, kind of contributing their computing power. So they run these large scale computers, or you can run a small computer. And that helps kind of secure the network by processing these transactions. And the way it does it is through a technology called blockchain. And so blockchain is a way of creating a decentralized distributed ledger that's almost like a database that everyone shares, and everyone shares a copy of. And so that's kind of what the miners are doing. So if I transfer you one Bitcoin, you know, obviously in a system where there is no middleman, there's no government, there's no bank saying, okay, you actually have one Bitcoin to send you. So you have to have a system where the miners confirm that, you know, when you actually want to send money to someone, you have to confirm that they actually have that money to send it to.
Yeah.
To start with, you can't just
good start.
And with digital money, you can't just magically say, you know, I have 10,000 Bitcoins.
Yeah.
And so that's something that, you know, the Bitcoin network is really, it has solved. And that's why it's so great, because it allows me to transfer money to anyone else securely. And for all these miners to create copies of that ledger, that record of having transferred, you know, plus one to your account and minus one to my account, so that nobody can mess with the system. There's no bad actors.
Yeah, it's kind of the power of the people keeping an eye on everyone. It's almost turning everyone into a bit of a big brother, sort of, when it comes to, in my mind, that's how I see it.
Yeah.
How many people have access to these ledgers? Is it just the miners that you were talking about, or is it kind of anyone who wants them?
Oh, no, it's completely public.
Wow.
And so that's kind of the beauty of blockchain technology is the thing that underlies Bitcoin and a bunch of these other tokens, things like, and other platforms like Ethereum. And really the only way it can work is if it's all completely open and public.
Mm.
And this is part of what blockchain technology adds value to on top of that, is that everything is public by nature. And so then we can start to kind of treat this universal database as a source of truth. And we can then start to, in some sense, trust in code rather than trust in institutions, which are typically run by humans, and humans are, you know, typically
greedy and lying.
Yeah.
There's this fault in humans, for sure.
We tend to always be corruptible.
there's always that point, isn't there, somewhere along the line where there is the corruptible force. So with the blockchain and it's very much bigger than I think a lot of people understand. And it's this huge entity that is kind of in the background and no one really thinks about, but it's there. Do you think it'll become more commonplace?
Yeah, definitely. So there's a platform called Ethereum, which is really big. So that's kind of like the second most, you know, valuable in terms of market cap platform. So, you know, Bitcoin's worth $10,000 right now, Australian or more than that.
Yep.
Ethereum, I think, is like $500.
Wow. So it's another type of currency almost.
Yeah. So it's another type of currency. They have a currency called Ether. But the difference between Bitcoin and Ethereum is that Bitcoin was really only intended to be used as a monetary exchange system.
Okay.
So it was designed by, you know, a pseudonymous, you know, Satoshi Nakamoto, who we don't know who it is. It was designed in a way to basically just focus on monetary transactions. Now, what Ethereum is doing, Ethereum is trying to become almost like a world computer. So not only can it do currency and monetary exchange, but it can actually do full-on applications. Full-on, you know, Turing complete, they call it. Like, you know, you can literally write any piece of code to have it do anything, and you can deploy it as a decentralized app. They call it a dApp. So a bit like, you know, apps in the App Store.
Yeah.
You'll be able to have, when you already can, you can have dApps in this kind of decentralized global thing. It's kind of
available
it's
for everybody.
Yeah, and public, and anyone can, and it runs the same way anytime. So what you do is you create a dApp, you deploy it onto the Ethereum blockchain, which is kind of acts like, you know, turning the internet into a global computer, and then anyone from that point on can then use that application and, you know, pay whatever tiny fee it costs to use it. But anyone can use it publicly and see the code and change
it. Wow. What sort of dApps are you seeing out there at the moment? What sort of applications is this being used for?
So there's a few things. A lot of stuff around Internet of Things. There's definitely one use. So a beauty of the blockchain is that you can actually remove the middleman. That's the whole point of the decentralization movement.
Yeah.
So one great example I'd love to give is that, you know, think of something like Uber or Airbnb. Like these are marketplaces where there's two sides. So in Uber, you're basically, you know, when you book a ride, it's really an interaction between you and the driver. But Uber sits in the middle and they take I think 30% fee or something. So why is that necessary? Like, do we have to have Uber sitting in the middle and making billions of dollars and taking a 30% fee?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to anymore because we have blockchain technology that can handle all of that process with no humans in the middle. So I could book an Uber, on a decentralized Uber.
A Duba.
Quick, patent it. Trademark it. I could book a decentralized Uber with no Uber Inc. in the middle. Instead, it's a decentralized dApp, a smart contract sitting in the middle, which securely does the transaction. We can pay each other securely and have that transaction happen securely, so we both, you know, trust in it.
Between two individuals, without a corporation in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, this is...
Yeah. Now apply that to, you know, banking, apply that to insurance, apply
healthcare.
That to, yeah, everything.
Wow.
Think of everything in society where really it's just an interaction between two people. So why do we need these giant conglomerates in the middle taking their cut?
That's a really, really good question. Yeah. My God, this is next level.
Definitely.
Technology is absolutely insane. Now, we're going to have to wrap it up in a sec, but before we go, and I know that this is going to be a huge question that probably will take a little longer than we have to explain, but you've created a blockchain platform called Peerism.
Yep.
How does that all work? How does that fit into all of this?
Yep. So really, with Peerism, I'm seeing that things like job automation is coming down the line a lot faster than I think a lot of people expect.
Mm.
And, you know, as much as I don't like jobs, I think most people don't like jobs. I think when people don't have an income and purpose, things on a societal level, things get quite bad quite quickly.
Yeah, we go downhill really quick.
So I want to kind of solve that by firstly making people more resilient to those types of shocks.
Okay.
So, for example, when you go to a party and you say, you know, someone asks you, you know, what do you do? The dreaded question. If someone says, for example, I'm an accountant, you typically know, okay, that means they work as an accountant 40 hours a week for one company in one place. They get up in the morning, they go to work, they sit at their desk.
They account and they go home.
So, well, what happens when AI and automation replaces not just their job, but the entire accounting industry, accounting profession? But at the same time, like, you know, when that person says, I'm an accountant, they have far more skills than just accounting. It's not like they're a one, you know, single-minded, single-skilled, single-interest person.
Absolutely.
Like, they're interested in, you know, millions of other things, you know, photography, marketing, design, it could be anything. So what I really want to do is quantify those skill sets in each individual so that you can have an economy that's more intelligent right now, and you can actually know exactly on a very quantified level what you're good at.
Okay.
And so to do that, I'm using the same thing, so cryptocurrency tokens. So the beauty with things like Ethereum is in about 10 or 20 lines of code, anyone now can create their own cryptocurrency. And that's a new thing. But what I want to do is create a thing called skill tokens.
Okay.
So
this sounds almost video gamey. I like it.
Yeah. Like gamifying life type thing.
Yeah.
And so, for example, if you really want to show the economy that you're really good at, say, photography, then you could go and do tasks for other people in a decentralized marketplace, earn money, but earn that money in the form of photography tokens.
Wow.
And the more photography tokens you own or have earned by doing tasks, that represents your skill level.
This is great.
Yeah.
I love this. This is so interesting. It's kind of a reward-based system where your reward is your reputation.
Yeah, definitely. And then the cool thing about that is if one of your skill sets gets automated, you have, you know, 1,000 others to fall back on.
My gosh.
And then you can start routing work to people based on what the economy knows they're good at, rather than right now, if you have $10 in your pocket and I have, you know, $5 in my pocket, it says nothing about what we're interested in and what our passions are and our skills. And,
no.
And that's really all the economy knows about us right now. So.
Wow. So you're going to be paid in skill tokens.
Definitely.
As well as currency tokens.
Yeah. So they're all floating. They're all
tradable. I'm not going to trade my like radio skill token for a meal. Like,
no.
I'm going to hold on to that.
But they're all floating, a bit like Ethereum and Bitcoin now. You know, they can be sold and bought and traded for US dollars or Australian dollars or whatever.
Yeah. Wow. My God, I've learned so much in the last 10 minutes. This is such a way of the future.
Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely the way that everything's moving. You're on the forefront of it. Nathan, thanks so much for joining us this morning and explaining a little bit.
Cool. Thanks for having me.